Okay, we're up to Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel talks more about kosher, which we discussed yesterday. So I'll move on from there and go on to the Mishnah at the bottom of the Amud, which talks about Mekaplin Esakelim, you can fold clothes. Afilo Abava Chamisha Palm, 4 or 5 times. Matzina Samitos Mei L'Shabbos L'Shabbos, and you can make beds. From Friday night to Shabbos, although mi Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos, but not from Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Mekaplin Es HaKelim, he also reiterates that the clothes can be folded, and Matzian Es Hamitos Miyom HaKippurim LeShabbos, that the beds not only can be made from Friday night to Shabbos, but they can be made from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, because he holds that Shabbos is a higher Kedusha than Yom HaKippurim. Similarly, Bechelvei Shabbos Kleben Miyom HaKippurim, but they'll show Yom HaKippurim LeShabbos, that the fats of the korbanos offered on Shabbos can actually be burned on Yom Kippur because of the fact that Shabbos is a higher kedusha. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with respect to the Yom Kippur and Shabbos equation. It says, Lo shel Shabbos kevim b'yom kippur, lo shel Yom Kippur kevim b'Shabbos. So that's the Mishnah. So from the Mishnah, we see a couple of things. We see, first of all, that it is permissible, at least under some circumstances, it seems, to fold clothing on Shabbos. We also see that the Mishnah addresses the issue of exerting some sort of tircha on Shabbos and differentiates between doing it for Shabbos or doing it for after Shabbos. For example, with the setting of the beds, it's okay to do it for Shabbos, but it's not okay to do it on Shabbos for after Shabbos. Distinction between doing something for Shabbos and doing something for after Shabbos carries over when we go into the Gemara with respect to the first item in the Mishnah relating to the folding of the clothes. Even when we talk about the folding of the clothes, the folding of the clothes have to be done in a fashion in which it's not done professionally, it seems. We had spoken previously, maybe this is the connection between the discussions in this parak about the malacha of kosher and this particular discussion, which seems to relate more to misakin mana, to some derabanan application of makir bepatish, that we said when it came to malachas kosher, we distinguished between a ma'isa uman and something that wasn't a ma'isa uman. So here too, we distinguish between if you're doing something in a very fancy fashion that's more like misakin mana, and if you're doing it in a less professional fashion that's not like misakin mana. So you have two people doing it, that's more like Misaki Mana. That you can't do. Even with one person, it's only if it's new clothing and it doesn't yet have clear creases on it. Apparently, the new clothing doesn't have the clear creases, the Gemara is assuming, but Yishanim Lo. But if it's older clothing, then when you're going to do it, even a regular bolt is going to straighten out the creases, and then it would not be permissible. The new garments, it's only if it's the white clothing, but if it is colored clothing, then Rashi says, kipul and metaknan, that the kipul actually causes it to have a tikkun. So Rashi goes with this tikkun idea. In the Rashi, tibu amaska b'shnei b'nei odom also, Rashi says, if I have two people doing it, b'nirin k'misakin. And this, when Rashi talks about white tzvu and colored clothing is not okay, Rashi also uses the same lashon, kipul and metaknan. So clearly, according to Rashi, the problem is going on over here is some sort of problem of misakein mana. Below amon, not only that, lo amon, ella she'ein lo lahaklif. That's only if you don't have another garment to wear. But yesh lo lahaklif. But if you have another garment to wear, and you therefore can just as easily put on the other garment, and when you fold this garment, it doesn't. It's not necessary for the same Shabbos. So then lo. So this falls in the same category, it seems, as the principle of Matzian Samitos Mele Shabbos LeShabbos Volomi Shabbos Amotzei Shabbos, that if you don't need it for Shabbos itself, then it's going to be impermissible anyway. So this seems to be a second category. This seems to be a second category of problem. The first category of the problem is Misakin Man, that even if you're doing it and you don't have any other clothing and you need it for the very same Shabbos, if it's going to be in a fancy schmancy fashion that looks like a misakein, that's some sort of a version of misakein mana, so then it's going to be prohibited. And then there's a secondary problem, which is that even if it's not going to be done in an expert fashion, even if it's livbanim and it's chadashim and it's adam echad, and it's going to be done in a plain and ordinary fashion where I don't have a misakein mana problem, there's going to be, so it seems, a separate problem that you're not supposed to do it on Shabbos or after Shabbos. What would the nature of that problem be? So that would be Hachana, presumably. What's the problem with respect to Hachana? So that already is discussed in Rashi and Daf Kuf Yudal and Amud Beis in the context of the Issa Kenivas Yerek, which is chopping up vegetables that Rashi seems to understand over there, is talking about when you're doing it, you can't do it on Shabbos because it's preparing for after Shabbos. So Rashi Dibu Amaskal also the Knivas Yerek says Vlomi Baya B'Shabbos the Amuda also Mishum Shavus that it's prohibited on Shabbos. Why the Ketorach Mishabbos L'Chol? Because you're doing a Tiyok on Shabbos for a weekday. So it appears from Rashi that the issue of doing it on Shabbos when you don't need it for after Shabbos, this problem of Hachana is a problem when there's some element of Tircha involved. So over here, there seems to be some element of Tircha involved if you're going to be leaving it for after Shabbos. So Tosfos adds Mekaplim Kalim Mechulei. So Tosfos adds a very important Halacha Lamaisa application of all of these rules. If you think about it, when it comes to our clothing, it's very difficult for us to figure out, even if you needed it for the very same Shabbos, it would be difficult to figure out when you would be justified in terms of folding your clothing in a way that wouldn't constitute Misakim Mana, which was the first problem we identified, that we said is even if you're going to use the clothing for the same Shabbos, even if Ein Lo Lahachalif, so you would need that it's being done by one person, okay, that's easy enough, that you'll do it yourself. But then you need that it's chadashim. So how much of our clothing is chadashim? You need that it be lebanim. It's very difficult to figure out what type of clothing or what type of garments we have that would fall into the category that would permit folding it, even if it would be for the same Shabbos. So that's question number one. Even without getting to the problem of leaving it for after Shabbos, are you ever going to find a case where it's permissible to fold the garments on Shabbos itself? And number two, even if you could find a scenario where it wouldn't be like Misakei Mana, how do you make sure that you satisfy the requirement that it be Ein Lo Lahachlif, that you really need it for later on on Shabbos? So Tosfos seems to be addressing point number two, more than point number one. Tosfos says, Mekaplim Kalim Mechulei, so Mikan Lamadnu. So we learn from here the also the kapil taliso shabes haknesis that you're not allowed to fold the taliso shabes haknesis. Tosfos clearly is talking about not just regular clothing, but a talis shel mitzvah, a talis shabes haknesis that you put on in the shul. Latishem tzarech macha. What's the reason? So Tosfos doesn't say that the reason is misaki mana. Tosfos says that the reason is b'nei shehem tzarech macha, that it's like the setting of the beds on Shabbos for after Shabbos. It's like the case of ein lo lahachlif. Since this is a case where you're not going to use it again on Shabbos, presumably you put it away Shabbos morning, you're not even going to use it again Shabbos Mincha, you're going to set it aside for the next day, you're going to set it aside for the next Shabbos, so therefore, says Tosfos, that would be prohibited. So some want to create a machlokis here between Rashi and Tosfos and say that according to Rashi, we see the problem of folding clothing or folding a talis would be misakin mud, because Rashi keeps on talking about misakin, kim misakin, and so forth. According to Tosfos, the problem is tircha, which is another way of saying hachana, that you're doing unnecessary tircha, that you don't need for Shabbos, so it's a problem of hachana for after Shabbos. I don't think it's mochrach, because you could say they're talking about the two different parts of the equation. Rashi's talking about why is it also when it's also even when you need it for Shabbos. We said that if it doesn't satisfy all the conditions of Adam, Mechon, and Chadoshim, and Levanim, then you're not allowed to fold it even for the same Shabbos. So that's a problem of Misakin. Tosis is talking about that if you don't have the problem of Misakin for whatever reason, you're talking about Adam, Mechon, Chadoshim, and Levanim, or maybe the folding of the Talisos is not as fancy as the folding that was described in the Gemara. Maybe Tosfos is working with that Sfar. Still, Tosfos says, if you don't need it for the same Shabbos, that's like the Yesh Lo Lahachlif case, that I don't need it anymore for that Shabbos, and that's going to be the separate problem of Tircha, which is the reason why you can't set the beds on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So it's not necessarily a machlokis. They may be talking about two different sides of the equation. The Aruch HaShulchan creates a whole machlokis between the Rambam and the Raifid on this point. That the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, where he brings down this halacha of not folding the clothes, so the Rambam lists it as a continuation of the same halacha in Perachot Beis, Halacha Chof Beis, where the Rambam talks about other things that you can't do because they're a form of tikkun. And the Rambam says nothing over there. And the Rambam in Perachot Gimel, Halacha Zayin, rattles off other things that you're not allowed to do. Where he also seems to relate them to the universe of Tikkun, or Nira Kimisakin, where the Rambam differentiates as the rinsing of dishes, you can't do it because it's like Misakin, but if you need them for later in the Shabbos, then it's okay. And then the Rambam has the same thing about the beds. If you set the beds Friday night, so if you set the beds on Shabbos, then you really shouldn't do it. But if you need it for the same Shabbos, you're doing it Friday night for Shabbos day, so then that would be okay. And the Rambam says over there that all of these things are also because of Tircha. So the Yochai Shulchan says, we see we have a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rambam. The Rambam holds all of these things, whether it's the setting of the bed or whether it's the folding of the clothes. The Rambam didn't make this comment about the folding of the clothes. But whether it's, or in both of those cases, the Rambam holds it's a problem of Misakin. And the Rambam holds that it's a problem of Tircha. So the Rambam also differentiates between if you're doing it on Shabbos, if you're doing it for after Shabbos. It could be that the Rambam is a little bit more of a nuanced shita. The Rambam says, certain things are misakim, but if you're doing it for the same Shabbos, for Shabbos, so then it's not misakim. So it could be that the Rambam holds that there are different levels of misakim. There's misakim gomo, which is also no matter what, and then there are things which are, they look a little bit like misakim, but if you're going to only do it for a short period of time, that it's not, whatever you're doing is only going to last for a duration that expires before Shabbos. You'll be using the dishes again, you'll be using the bed again, or you'll be using the talus again, so then you're not going to have the problem of misakin. So it could be that maybe the Rambam sort of puts it together, that it is a problem of misakin, but if it's for the same day, so then that's not, there's a certain type of misakin, there's such a low-level misakin, that if it doesn't have durability, it's not going to be for beyond the one day. It's kind of like the Kesher She'eno Shokayama type of scenario we were discussing yesterday. Then that would be mutter. But be it as it may, the Yochai Shulchan sees it as a machlokes. So I think that you have to just make sure when you think about this sugya, you have to break down between what is usur, even if it's for the same day for Shabbos, and what's usur only if it's something that you don't need for Shabbos. So the Mordechai over here quotes from the Rav Yoh, who says that it's only a problem. So first he says that let's say that you're able to satisfy all of the conditions, that it's other mechon, it's chadoshim, and it's levonim, so you satisfy all of the conditions, are you able to fold, say, a talus on Shabbos? So he says, well, you still don't satisfy another condition, which is that you don't need it anymore on Shabbos. So if you don't need it anymore on Shabbos, it's like the Yesh L'Achlit case, where I don't need something anymore on Shabbos, and then it shouldn't be permissible to do it. So he says, well, you're still going to be permitted to do it. He seems to clearly hold that otherwise the problem for leaving it after Shabbos would be some sort of problem of Tircha. That's how the Big Deyesha on the bottom of the Mordechai understands the Mordechai. From the Kinti, the Mordechai appears clearly to understand that this is a problem of Tircha, at least if you're leaving it after Shabbos. But the Mordechai says, quotes the Rav Yoh, as saying that if you fold it, Shaloki Kipul Harishon, that you fold it in such a way that it's not completely lined up, like its original folding, that it's not exactly on the creases, so that would be permissible. Presumably, why would that be permissible if you're doing it for after Shabbos? Isn't that still a Tircha? Because you're still folding it, so the answer must be that it's not really such a tircha. It's a tircha if you're trying to do it in exactly the precise fashion, that you're going to fold it exactly on the folds, exactly on the creases. So that's a tircha. But if you're not so meticulous about the way that it's folded, so then that should be okay. So the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Beis brings this shita of the Rav Yoh as a Yesh Misha Omer. That created a whole controversy because first he says that you can't fold the clothes on Shabbos unless the various conditions are satisfied. And then he says, Yesh Misha Omer, then it says, Shaloki Kipulo Harishon, so then it's permissible. So there's a whole discussion. Does the Mechaber really hold like the Yesh Misha Omer, or is he suggesting you should really hold that you shouldn't do it? And the Yesh Misha Omer is just one isolated opinion. So Rav Avadya Yosef in Yechabed Das, the Chelik Beis Simen Mem, has a long tshuva about this in which he argues that sometimes the Mechaber says Yesh Misha Omer just because there's only one person who says it, not because anybody argues with him. He's saying the Yesh Misha Omer doesn't mean that the Mechaber holds that this is an isolated opinion. It's just he's giving credit for the fact that there's one person who said it. But of course, everyone agrees with the Mordechai, who says that you shouldn't agree with the Mordechai, that it's Shulk Kipulu Arishon, so then you solve all problems and you should be able to make the fold, even if it's even if it's for after Shabbos. So that's a question as to whether the Mechaber L'chatchila holds like the Yesh Misha Omer. The Mishnah Brura says that L'chatchila, that really you can follow the Yesh Misha Omer, but if you're Machmir and you don't even follow the Kikipulo Arishon, so then you get some sort of a lashon like a Tavo L'Bachor, that this is considered to be Meshubach, this is considered to be a good and praiseworthy thing. So Rabbi Yosef says he doesn't even think it's a good and praiseworthy thing. He thinks that it's for perfectly mutter, and that there's no reason why anyone should be Mefakbeg altogether, that it's perfectly permissible. If it's not Kikipulo Arishon, it's not an exact fold, that one should not even hesitate. He thinks that it should be completely permissible. The Kol Shekein, because the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, in the Beis Yosef, quoted another Shita that was even more makel. He quoted the Kolbo. The Kolbo, which is also the Shita of the Ochos Chaim, the Kolbo is of the opinion that if you fold it nowadays, you fold the talis nowadays, we don't have whatever was the fancy folding process that was described in this Mishnah. Well, this Mishnah, well, now a Gemara. Well, now a Gemara said that you're only allowed to do folding if it's the other Mechon and Levonim and the Chadashim. Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in the Shmir Shavas Kilkasa saying that we don't really understand any of these distinctions nowadays. Like, what's the difference? Certainly, Levonim, Tzvuim, what does it make a difference in terms of our gods? We don't even understand these distinctions. So the Kolbo and the Ochos Chaim say that they had a very fancy system which people were very makpid, the folding's a certain way, and it was like almost the way that you would iron clothes nowadays. And our folding has nothing whatsoever to do with this, and therefore the way that we fold is perfectly permissible and there's nothing to worry about whatsoever. There's a little bit of a side machlokis between the Mamar Mordechai Rabbi Yosef quotes in his Shuvas a side machlokis between Achronim, between the Mamar Mordechai and the Gedolo Salisha. Side machlokis whether in the opinion of the Kolbo, when the Kolbo says that you're allowed to side to fold in the normal fashion, whether he means you're allowed to fold in the normal fashion nowadays only if you're going to use it again on Shabbos, or maybe or even if you're not going to use it again on Shabbos. So everybody assumes that the Kolbo means like the Mordechai. The Mordechai said that you're allowed to fold according to, if it's not according to the normal creases, in order to be matir, the ability to do it for after Shabbos. And certainly this also solves the problem that it's not a fancy fold, that you could do it on Shabbos itself. But is that true with respect to the Kolbo Shita? Maybe the Kolbo Shita is that there just isn't a problem misakin money anymore. There's no problem misakin money, even if you fold in the normal fashion, even if it's not Chadashim, even if it's not Levonim, even if it's not other Mechad. We don't have a problem if you fold it exactly on the creases, because our folding is not really in the category of misakin money. But he would still hold that if you're careful to fold it a particular way, maybe that's unnecessary tircha if you don't need it for the same Shabbos. So that's the Shita of the Mamar Mordechai. That seems reasonable to me. That doesn't seem like a crazy Shita. It's a Shita of the Mamar Mordechai. That's probably what Tosfos was getting at. Tosfos was saying that even if you avoid the Misakin Mana problems, it's still a problem if you're going to, you know, fold in a nice fashion and, you know, in a tircha fashion, and you're going to leave it for after a Shabbos. And the Gedolah Salisha, which I didn't see inside, he quotes as questioning whether that premise in the Mamar Mordechai is correct. But it seems reasonable to me. So the Bar Hetiv, in a very unusual, not Bar Hetiv, the Bar Agola, in a very unusual departure from his usual style of just giving you Mara Mekomos on the side, so he notes this omission by the Mechaber in Siman Shin Beis, that the Mechaber quotes the Shita of the Mordechai, B'Shem HaRav Yah, that if you don't fold exactly on the creases, that this is something which is going, which is permissible. But the Mechaber doesn't quote the Kolbo, even though he quoted in the Beis Yosef, the Shita of the Kolbo, so he doesn't quote it. So the Bar Agola says that. The Bar Agola says that you should know that there's also a Shita of the Kolbo. And please take a look at the Beis Yosef, because the Beis Yosef also quotes another Shita of the Kolbo. So you make sure that shouldn't escape your attention. So he obviously felt that this was something that was worthy of mention on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, that people shouldn't forget about the Kolbo. So Rav Avadya Yosef says that we see the Kolbo really had a lot of supporters. and it was not necessarily rejected outright the halacha. He quotes some who say, well, since the Mechaper is quoted only in the Beis Yosef and not in the Shulchan Aruch, therefore we shouldn't accept the halacha. He quotes others who were not so sure. And apparently the Bar Gola also felt that it was worthy of mention. So he writes at the end of his tshuva, certainly if you fold the talis not exactly on the folds, you can certainly be somech on the Rabbah, and that's not anything to worry about. And even if you, so he goes sort of the opposite direction of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah said, if you decide to be machmir not to rely on the Rabbah, that's a good thing. So he says that you don't even have to worry about. And you certainly can rely upon the Rabbah. Not only that, but even if you are maker like the Kobo, yeshama lismo. Even if one decides to fold in the normal fashion. One of the, a couple of the Achronim who are involved in the discussion also quote from the Sefer Chasidim and says maybe a Talish of Mitzvah has a more exalted status in terms of the need to be able to fold it properly. Now, bear in mind, Tosfos was clearly talking about a Talish of Mitzvah because he was talking about Taliso Shel Beis HaKnesses. I assume that he's talking about a Talish of Mitzvah when he talks about Taliso Shel Beis HaKnesses. But they quote from the Kosovo of Toledano, who quotes from the, I saw this in one other source as well, who quotes from the Sefer HaChasidim, who says, look, when it comes to Tal Shemis, it's like a bizoyon if you're not going to fold it properly. You're not just doing it to be, you know, Misake Manor, you're not doing it L'shem Tircha V'Alma. Like, we might be worried to say, okay, that even if I avoid the Misake Manor problems, I still have the Tircha problem. What are Tircha? You have to show proper kavod to a davar shemitzvah. It says zekeli be'anbei, we snarl upon a b'mitzvos, right? And one of the examples, according to the Sefer Chasidim, is talis nar. You have to have a talis nar. That's this is part of your avoda, your kibud of a kaddish baruch hu, the way you're certainly supposed to conduct yourself on Shabbos to be machabed a davar shemitzvah. He didn't quote from the Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. He quoted from the Sefer Chasidim. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis also has this idea of Zeki Libi Anbei. We snarl up in front of that you should have a sukkah noy, you should have a lulav, you should have all these things that are noy. But it doesn't say that talis noy. It says tzitzis noy. So I guess he wanted to quote from the Sefer Chasidim because Sefer Chasidim would use the exact lashon of talis noy. But we also have the same. Rabbi Yosef points out we also have the same idea with respect to talis noy. Just what Rabbi Yosef adds that the Maharsham and the Munkacher both said that if you're relying upon the Mordechai and you're not folding according to the folds, so the idea, presumably on some level, he argues, or the Maharsham argues and the Munkacher argues, the idea on some level is that you're not putting it away permanently for weekday purposes. You're only making a temporary fold. And that's what because you're not doing it on the creases. So therefore, you're not really doing a tircha for the weekday. But if you're happy with this type of a fold, and you're going to live with this type of a fold, and this is your Shabbos talis, and you're going to leave it until next Shabbos, and you're not going to make the fold more exact after Shabbos, so then Iglai Milsa L'Mafreya, that as far as you are concerned, this was, you know, your preferred mode of folding the talis, in which case you really were exerting a tircha on Shabbos for the rest of the week. So therefore they were ma'adah that after Shabbos is over, the talesim should be taken out and they should be folded properly at the conclusion of Shabbos. I remember when I grew up, I davened in the Yeki Minyan and everybody would return their talesim on during Shabbos Mincha and we'd always do it in an inexact fashion and then after Shabbos was over, they would take out the talesim, they would sign, they would all, you know, that was like a Motzei Shabbos activity. When I was in Mor HaShakol, that was one of my jobs. So Maror Shakolel, after we finished the Davening Marav, as we were singing, we sang for a long time. As we sang, Amarta Mikodesh Lepol and Eliyahu Anavi, Lekim Yisadenu. I don't know if now they've added or subtracted from the repertoire. Those are the standard three songs that we used to sing.
We subtracted.
Yeah. That's a shame. So
Eliyahu
Anavi, we only did the first and last stanza. But so while we sang these various songs, I would pick up all the talesim from Shabbos that were folded exactly, and I would and I would fold them all. I would make sure to fold them all exactly. So there's a hiddur that one is supposed to do that. So that's enables one to remove any specter of a problem. Rabbi Yosef says he doesn't think it's necessary. He thinks that since the folding that we're talking about is not considered to be fancy and is not considered to be any kind of a tircha whatsoever, so even if it would remain until the following Shabbos, even if it would remain for a few days, even if somebody didn't change the folding, since it's clear that this is not where the fold is supposed to be, so he thinks that solves the problem. So that's a question as to whether that completely solves the problem. I think that one probably should make the following consideration, which is that maybe some of it really depends on how meticulously you're folding it. If you're folding it very meticulously in a way that's not exact, but it's still just taking an effort in doing it, so and that effort is going to maintain the talus in a particular position for the entire week, so maybe one should be a little bit more machmir about making sure to after Shabbos to fold it exactly on the folds. Like, there are two ways in which I took a talus as an example. So there are two ways. I saw people seem to like exhibits. There are two ways in which this is not a talus that I use. This used to be my Shabbos talus, but it got ripped a little bit, so I haven't worn it in a while. So if I'm folding it exactly according to the creases, I would be very exact and meticulous, like this, and I would go like this. I would make sure that it's very, very exact, right? And then I would make sure that I'm exactly on the folds over here, and it would be a very superb, you know, job of folding that then would go inside the talus pick. So now, if I'm not, it's not even exact, I mean, whatever, it's as best as I can do. So if I'm not going to be exact, so there are two ways of doing it. One way in which you could do it is, okay, I'm not going to be exact, so just kind of like, you know, go like this, whatever. Okay. Not really paying such close attention, and wrap it up like this, and I put it in. So that is presumably no tiyoko whatsoever. I'm not really being mocked about anything. But if I'm spending as much time as I would have spent otherwise unfolding the talus and being so meticulous that I put it like 1 centimeter away from the crease, but it still is a very exact fold, I go like this, and then it's, good, I'm 1 centimeter away. Now I go, good, I'm another 1 centimeter away. Now here, okay, I'm going to be just a tiny little bit of a millimeter off, and then like this, or whatever, but I have very exact folds, so that's here, that talk is, you know, something which could have a lasting effect, where it gives me a little bit more satisfaction, and where there's a little bit more tiyuk involved. So I think, I'm making a suggestion, I haven't seen this in any svarim, that if the way that one is mekayim, these various shitas and chumras, is that one does it the second way, as opposed to the first, and then there's probably more of an inyan of being machmir on Motzei Shabbos to do it more meticulously. Yes, you had a question?
You answered it before.
Oh, okay, good. Yes,
The Mordechai and the Shulchan Aruch quotes is also sound. You need to be concerned with the other requirements of Chadashim, meaning the Rebbe quoted the Shulchan Zalman that we don't know what any of those things mean.
Yeah, only the Kovo says you don't have to worry about any of those things. The Kovo says I don't have to worry about any of those things nowadays because the way that we fold it has nothing to do with the type of Misakin Kimisakin, Misakin Mona types of concerns that were being reflected in the Gemara over here.
But
we don't bring the Kovo down the Halacha. The only way that we avoid it is by not folding according to the creases. If we would fold exactly on the creases, so then unless we're going to be summoned on the call, but we would be worried that maybe we don't satisfy all those conditions. We could satisfy the condition that it be done by one person, but the condition that be chadashim, very often what we're talking about is anach chadashim and lebanim sibuim distinction. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says we don't even know what that means.
So the Mordechai of not folding on the creases not only gets rid of the tircha problem, but also means you don't need to worry about the other.
That's right. The Mordechai not folding on the creases gets rid of both problems. And there's a question as to whether the Kolbo solution gets rid of both problems, only gets rid of one of the problems. Now, there is a Rabbeinu Kananel, there's a line of Rabbeinu Kananel that some wanted to rely upon as saying that if it's a Shabbos talus as opposed to the talus that you wear every single day and you're only doing this fold, whatever fold is going to be, let's assume for a moment that you held like the Kolbo, that that you didn't have a Misakin Mana problem for folding in the normal fashion, and you were going to do this fold only for the following Shabbos, so then he held, then the Rabbeinu Hananel seems to indicate that if it's not for the weekday, but it's for a different Shabbos, then that would be okay. Because he says this is 4 lines from the bottom over here. The Rabbeinu Hananel says, Oda mechan mekapo kelem leili Shabbos l'Shabbos, so we should have Shabbos mitzafa l'panya, and on Shabbos you could do it from morning until afternoon, ula Shabbos acheres. And you could even do it for the following Shabbos. So some wanted to say that if it's a Shabbos talus and you're leaving it for the following Shabbos, so then for sure, as long as you get around the Misakin Mana problems, you don't have a problem of folding it for after Shabbos, since you're not setting it aside for weekday, you're setting it aside for the following Shabbos. The problem is the Rabban explicitly says exactly the opposite, has almost exactly the same lashon as Rabbeinu Hananel, but just changes the words to saying about lo mishabbos l'shabbos acheres. And even within Rabbeinu Hananel, it seems to contradict himself, because a couple of sentences later, He says, that when we say that a person's allowed to fold on Shabbos, for that later on Shabbos, it's only if he doesn't have other clothing. But if he doesn't need it for Shabbos, for that Shabbos, Eidu Mekapel. So Rabbeinu Chananel himself seems to say, if he doesn't need it for that Shabbos, then he doesn't have the right to do it. So how do you reconcile that with Rabbeinu Chananel saying a couple of sentences early, even if he doesn't need it for that Shabbos, if he needs it for the following Shabbos, it's perfectly okay. So Rabbi Yosef in the same tshuva brings some other poskim who claim that there's a girsa error in the Rabbeinu Chananel. And really, Rabbeinu Chananel meant to say, or was meant to be transcribed in the same way as the Rabban. That he really, because otherwise, this Mishabbos L'Shabbos doesn't really seem to make sense. It sort of comes out of nowhere. It's such a chiddush that you figure Rabbeinu Chananel would explain why that's already a shita, it's a chiddush. To say that to prepare something for one Shabbos, from one Shabbos to another Shabbos is something that's permissible. That's something that presumably he wouldn't just say in passing. He would elaborate a little bit. So it seems more mistaber that it's a tol sofer in the Rabbeinu Chananel. So with respect to this other notion of setting the beds, is sort of the second part of the equation. That you're not allowed to do a tircha on Shabbos for after Shabbos, and the same is brought with respect to not folding clothing, whether we're talking about a talis shemitzah or any other clothing, not folding it on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So there's a discussion about what about if it's meyantiv, that you have Shabbos following yantiv. And now in yantiv, you're using it, you're using this talis, and you want to be able to fold it, again, in a non-misakimana fashion, but you want to be able to do it for Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, that's not a problem. That's included in the Erev Tavshilin. As long as you make an Erev Tavshilin, it's the Erev Tavshilin which enables you to cook for after Shabbos. So this should enable you. You could use the Erev Tavshilin for this as well. So there's a Rabbi Akiva Eger here. It's a very important Rabbi Akiva Eger. It appears in a few places in throughout the Shulchan Aruch HaChaim. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that there are really three different shitas when it comes to what you can rely on an Erev Tavshilin for. There's one shita that you can only rely on Erev Tavshilin for Tzarchei Seuda. It has to be food items. If it's some sort of a malacha that doesn't relate to food that you can do on Yantiv, but you can't do on Shabbos, so then you can't prepare from Yantiv from Yantiv to Shabbos, even with an Erev Tavshilin. What's the case that's discussed? There's a case that's discussed in the Chof Zayin, if I'm not mistaken, regarding somebody who forgot to make an Erevei Chatzeros, and it's now Yantiv. They don't need the Erevei Chatzeros on Yantiv, because you can carry on Yantiv. But they want to make it on Yantiv for Shabbos, so can they rely upon the Erev Tavshilin? So the Mishnah Berurah over there quotes those authorities, and he seems to hold that way, at least over there. He quotes those authorities who say that you can't rely upon the Erev Tavshilin to make an Erevei Chatzeros, because it has to be something that's Tzarchei Seuda. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says you could have a different svara. You could say it has to be something which a person had reason to do on Yantiv, but a person has no need for an Erev Echatzeres on Yantiv. You can only rely on Erev Tavshilin for something which there was, you have a svav, hoel b'kali orchid, that maybe orchid will come and have a need for it, but orchid don't have a need for an Erev Echatzeres on Yantiv. What, unless you wanted to like carry something shalom itself? That's not a Yantiv need. So you don't, that's another separate reason, he says, why it might make sense and not to rely upon the Erev Tavshilin in terms of allowing for an Erevei Chatzeros to be done on Yantiv for Shabbos. Then the other case that's brought is in Hilchos Sukkah. Towards the end of Hilchos Sukkah, so the Magen Avraham talks about how you shouldn't roll a Sefer Torah on Yantiv. If Yantiv is going to be followed by Shabbos, you shouldn't roll it to the place that you're going to need on Shabbos. And over there as well, Rabbi Akiva Eger talks about would this work with the Erevei Tavshilin. So he says, well, according to the Shita, the Erevei Tavshilin could conceivably work, then you have to think about what are the parameters. So according to the parameter quoted by the Mishnah Berurah with respect to Erevei Chatzeros, if it's only for Tzarchei Seuda, this is not Tzarchei Seuda, so it wouldn't work. According to the way that he defined it, that maybe as long as it's something that makes sense on Yantiv, that Orchid will come along, so maybe some visitors will come along to the shul and they'll want to learn some Torah. They'll want to take the Sefer Torah out of the oven and learn whatever parsha you turned the Sefer Torah to. So he said even though He doesn't say it's far-fetched. He seems to say that's like reasonable. So he says that, therefore, he thinks that in that case, you even if you're machmir in the Eivei Chatzeres case, you should be willing to be makel in this particular case. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger has his own chiddush. And his chiddush is, he thinks you don't need Eivei Tavshilin at all for these matters. He says, if some, the only thing that you need Eivei Tavshilin for, he says, is if there was a malacha. If somebody was doing a malacha, so then we say that if it's a malacha that was only permitted on Yantiv, if you have an Eivei Tavshilin, so then you're allowed to do the malacha on Yantiv for purposes of a Shabbos. But if it's not a malacha at all, he claims that even without an Eivei Tavshilin, it's perfectly permissible. So the case of rolling the Sefer Torah, he says, even if there was no Eivei Tavshilin, for whatever reason, and they wanted to roll the Sefer Torah on Yantiv to the place they need on Shabbos, that would be permissible. Even in the case, in our case, person made a bed on, wanted to make a bed on Shabbos for, on Yantiv, for purposes of the next day that was Shabbos, even if there was no Eivei Tavshilin, it would be permissible. If a person folded his talus in a way that wasn't Misakin Mana, and he wanted to set it aside, and he didn't need it again on the same day, and wanted to do it on Yantiv for purposes of the next day, which is going to be Shabbos, you don't need an Eivei Tavshilin. He says, what's my raya? My raya is our Mishnah. Right here, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, right in front of your noses. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael said, I'm allowed to fold the clothes and I'm allowed to make the bed on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva only argued with Rabbi Yishmael because he held that there was an equivalent Kedusha with respect to Yom Kippur and with respect to Shabbos. But when it comes to Yantiv and Shabbos, where everybody agrees that Shabbos has a higher Kedusha than a Yantiv, so then everyone, all the Tanaim, would agree that you're allowed to participate in activities that are not, strictly speaking, a malacha. We're talking about where it's only a tircha, it's not a malacha, where there would be no malacha involved. And our Mishnah does not say anywhere that there would be, even in the Yom Kippur and Shabbos, there'd be nothing to discuss in the realm of Eirei Tavshilin. But certainly, given that there was no extra device that our Mishnah required, when it came to Rabbi Yishmael Shita folding from Yom Kippur for Shabbos, there also would be no extra device that would be required if I had a case where a person was preparing something on Yantiv for Shabbos that would follow afterwards. Okay, yes?
You said there's three qualifications that we don't need an Erev Tavshilin?
No, I said
or that we do? Three or two,
I said there were three different shitas in Eivei Tavshilin, and then I kind of went into nuances. So let me just break them down simply. The first shita is that Eirev Tavshilin doesn't work at all for anything other than Tzarchei Seuda.
Yeah.
The second shita is that Eirev Tavshilin would work for these types of things that we're discussing, namely rolling a Sefer Torah from Yantiv to the place where you need it for Shabbos, or folding clothes on Yantiv, or making a bed on Yantiv for needing it on Shabbos. But if you didn't have an Eirev Tavshilin, you wouldn't be allowed to do it. And the third shita, which is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's shita, which Rosh Hashanah thinks is the shita that we follow la halacha, is Mishnah Berurah quotes Rabbi Akiva Eiger at least one place. The third shita is that even without an Eirev Tavshilin, you're allowed to do any activity on Yantiv to prepare for Shabbos as long as the activity doesn't entail a malacha.
So you can do it without an Eirev Tavshilin.
Without an Eirev Tavshilin. I don't need an Eirev Tavshilin for non-malacha activities of Hachana from Yantiv to Shabbos. That's why Rabbi Akiva Eiger shita, and his Araya is from our Mishnah. That's why we keep Ege right here, Simon Shin Beis. He has an arichus on this particular matter. Okay, just quickly, I'll mention that there was a very important halacha with respect to Mimsel Chepzaka, that one is supposed to, this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, it's Divrei Kabbalah. It goes like this, Im Tashim Shabbos Raglecha, Asos Chapetzecha, V'yom Kachi, V'koras L'Shabbos Onan, V'dosh Hashem Mechubad, V'chibato, Me'asos Drachecha, Mimsoh Chepzecha, V'daber Dobar. So we learn that Shabbos, you're supposed to behave, you're supposed to conduct yourself differently on Shabbos than the rest of the week. So we learn from this, that Shelo Yeh, Hilukacha, Shel Shabbos, Ki Hilukacha, Shel Chol, it says Me'asos Drachecha, right, that you're not allowed to walk on Shabbos the way that you walk during the weekday. And then it says, Mimso Chepzecha, Chepzecha, Chapetzecha, Asurin, your own business needs and the like, not allowed to engage in on Shabbos, Chepzei Shemayim Mutarim, but if it's Chepzei Shemayim, you have Tzorchei Tzibur that you're discussing on Shabbos, like Tzaka, Shiduchim, so that you can discuss, V'daber Dover, Shelo Yei Diborcha Shel Shabbos, Ki Diborcha Shel Chol, that your speech on Shabbos is supposed to be different from your speech the rest of the week. So how does this manifest itself? So in terms of the Hilukecha, So that the Gemara says that you're not supposed to engage in a pasiya gasa on Shabbos. You're not supposed to walk more than an amma at a time, more than a couple of feet. You're not supposed to take your huge footsteps or a jump. The Gemara says examples, unless you have to jump to avoid a long walk around the puddle or something, but you're not supposed to jump on Shabbos. You're supposed to have walk benachas. This doesn't apply if you're running to a mitzvah. It's Gemara brachas and above from the base. If you're running to a mitzvah, so the Ritva says that's an exception to the rule. But otherwise, you're supposed to walk nicely. So if you're, however, somebody who gets joy out of walking quickly, so then the post can say, so that's okay. If it's a tanuk, if you're, as long as you're walking quickly is a tanuk for you. Like for me, it would be tremendous tzar to walk slowly. So as long as walking quickly is a tanuk, so that they say is okay. I saw in the rabbi, the Lamed Tes Malachos book, who's the rabbi walking rabbi? Siwiak?
Ribiak,
thank you. Okay, so I saw Rabbi Ribiak's book. He writes, he thinks jogging is awesome, because they bring down that if it's muchach, that you're doing something with refuah, so then it's awesome. He says, nobody really gets so much joy out of jogging, right? You know, you could say that you get joy out of the fact that got in your exercise for the day. But the actual meister jogging is not necessarily so joyous. It's really clearly no one's doing it solely for a time. You're doing it in order to get exercise. So he says that for sure, that type of people for sure would be prohibited. So a person has to be careful how they walk on Shabbos. And what about the notion of how you talk on Shabbos with David Dover? So how you talk on Shabbos has both a passive element and it has an active element. It has a passive element that one is supposed to avoid talking on Shabbos about different things. So Mishnah Bun, Mishnah Zayin, says one very important application is that you're not allowed to speak about things that would entail a malacha. That we know that there's, we spoke earlier, you shouldn't do hachana, you shouldn't do maisim on Shabbos that are going to prepare for the next day. What about talking on Shabbos about what you're going to do the next day? This is often confusing to people because they know you can't do maisim of hachana on Shabbos for the next day. What about talking about what you're going to do the next day? So you're allowed to talk on Shabbos about what you're going to do the next day. If it gives you tanuk, you say, oh yeah, tomorrow I'm going to go to so-and-so's house. That you're allowed to do. However, you're only allowed to do it insofar as it does involve malacha. You're not allowed to say, tomorrow I'm going to go and fix the car. So that you can't do, because that involves a malacha. So you're allowed to talk as long about things that you will do after Shabbos, as long as you're not talking about things that have to do with the malacha. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes about whether it's a davar mitzvah, since we said the chefetz shemayim mutarim, so you're allowed to talk about things that will involve malacha. Tomorrow we have to drive to so and so's wedding, that's a malacha. You have to drive to so and so's wedding. I'm going to go to so and so's wedding tomorrow, and so and so's wedding is outside the tchum, so that's already in the realm of malacha. If you talk about that, so the Mishnah Berurah says that's a machlokes already. Some say yes, some say no. So he said, what do you do? So you should be machlia only to do it when necessary. That you need to get a ride to the wedding, to a davar shel mitzvah tomorrow, and if you don't have the conversation about it, so you're not going to be able to participate in this mitzvah, you won't be able to perform a mitzvah, so then some measure of conversation may be appropriate. But if you don't need the conversation on Shabbos, so then, of course, what you're supposed to say is, let's talk after Shabbos. And you shouldn't say to somebody, I'm going to give you a call after Shabbos. You say, I'm going to give you a call after Shabbos, so that's the people, this is a very common problem. People, I think, next on this all the time, unfortunately. Because I'm going to give you a call after Shabbos. So I'm not going to give a call. Can't give a call after Shabbos. You could say, I will speak to you after Shabbos. Okay? So you'll speak after Shabbos. So you could decide how you're going to speak. You can knock on the person's door and speak to them, or you can call them after Shabbos. But you're not supposed to say, I'm going to call you after Shabbos. And the Shlah says that there's a positive aspect of the David Dover, that your talk on Shabbos should be particularly Shabbistic. That you should, some people have the minhag going to speak B'lush and Kodesh on Shabbos. So that's going to drive your wife and family crazy. Obviously, that's not right. But if it's a tanug that you're going to, if it's something that can be done in a Shabbos spirit that will make everybody happy and uplift them, so that's a very nice nihu. The Shlav brings down that if every single morning you say Tzafer Tavah to somebody, you pass over in the street, what do you say most mornings? Usually you say nothing. Most people say absolutely nothing. But really, you're supposed to say good morning when you pass somebody in the street. So he says that even though during the week you say Tzafer Tavah, so Shabbos, you should say Shabbos Tov. You should say good Shabbos. That's where the minhag comes from. Say good Shabbos on Shabbos. The idea wasn't that you only say hello on Shabbos and don't say hello the rest of the week. The idea was the rest of the week you say good morning, and on Shabbos you say good Shabbos. So you're supposed to have a special Lashonos of a kibud for Shabbos. There's a very interesting tshuva, the Tshuva Sadeshin and Simon Samech Aleph. I just looked this up before, just to make sure that it really existed. It really exists. The Tshuva Sadeshin asks the question, he makes up his own questions. But the question was, are you allowed to speak? There were a lot of people after shul is over, so they all congregate around after shul, and they talk about politics, what's going on in the government, the various wars, the various infighting in the political circles. So he asked if this was permissible for people to discuss politics on Shabbos. So he writes that if this is something which gives people a tanug, that it gives them tremendous pleasure, and there are no other yisurim involved in the speech, but if something that gives people a pleasure, so then it's permissible. But he suspects that for some people who are discussing politics, it gives them pleasure. And for other people who are sort of standing around, participating in the conversation, they don't really like the conversation. They're just being polite. So he said that for the people who are just standing around and being polite, but they're not really enjoying the conversation because it's annoying to them, so then they really shouldn't do it. Then they should really walk away because this would, if it causes them tzar. On Shabbos, you're supposed to stay away from any kind of conversation that involves tzar. So that's something should be avoided. Yeah.
That's not limited to politics. That would apply to anything. Any
conversation that causes you tzar, then you should try to avoid the conversations about subjects that make you unhappy on Shabbos.
And the other side also, that if it gives you time, then you can discuss those things.
If what?
Then if it's something that's an enjoyable subject of conversation.
If it's an enjoyable subject of conversation, so then anything which is that you consider to be a tanug, so that's explicitly brought down in Shulchan Aruch, so that is perfectly permissible. They say that if it's a mamish, like bittul zman, or you're talking about matters that are not matters of kedusha, so a baal nefesh should be machmir upon himself to minimize that type of conversation on Shabbos. But strictly speaking, any type of conversation that causes you a tanug, so that is a conversation that fulfills this inyan of being mekayim b'dav b'dover in the affirmative sense.
Where's the Marmalkim again?
It's right here. This is the V'dav v'davah shalai yidibokha shal Shabbos v'dibokha shalcho.
The Chumash Sedeshen.
Oh, the Chumash Sedeshen is Simon, I think, Samach Aleph. I think I said Samach Aleph. I think I didn't write it down. That's my recollection, is that it was Samach Aleph. As far as the here who are mutter, so the Gemara on the top of Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Bei says, "Here, Omutu, you're allowed to think about things that might be things that you're not supposed to speak about on Shabbos. If a person thinks about it, they're going to drive somewhere the following day, so that's not considered to be a violation." So the Meiri explains this is not lechatchila. The Meiri on this daf says that's based on a different principle, which is Lo Nitna Tola LeMalachei Hasharis. That we welcome the Malachei Hasharis at the beginning of Shabbos, but it's not us. The Torah wasn't given to Malachei Hasharis. So it's understood that sometimes your mind is going to veer away to other things. But it doesn't mean that one should sit down and have in mind consciously that they're going to think about things that are not Shabbistic. That's why the post can bring down that even though hero is mutter, a person's not allowed to have kind of all of their financial ledgers in front of them and they're sitting and they're studying it. That's more of an active type of maisa where you're engendering a makshavah shloshel Shabbos. It means if it happens that you have hirurim that are not Shabbistic, then you have not violated Shabbos based on the pasuk. Okay, there are lots of other interesting things to discuss in the daf, but we'll stop with this.